Good morning. My name is Arturo, and this is the Morning Meditation Podcast. Today's meditation is called Bruce Almighty, about the movie. And this is the first in a series called PMR, Poetic Movie Review. It's where I wax poetic about movies and talk about the films that I've seen over and over again and my own thoughts about them. There's a lot of information on these movies out there, where they talk about analytics, they talk about who the director is, they talk about all kinds of stuff, how much money it made, what the premise of the movie was. I'm just going to directly talk about the content of the movie. And I've gone over this over and over again. I used to be a big Jim Carrey fan. I don't know how I feel about him now. He's different as he's gotten older. But he was definitely funny. The guy was hilarious. And he was able to make hits. I mean, he was a big time hit maker. And the reality is, this was his biggest hit, Bruce Almighty. It's the biggest money making movie that he's done. And I think that's pretty cool. It's one of my favorite Jim Carrey movies. It's actually one of my favorite Christian movies as far as Hollywood movies are concerned. There's much better Christian movies made by actual Christians, but the movies that come out of Hollywood that have to do with God and man and our relationship and just dealing with God in some way, shape, or form, I think this is probably one of the best ones that's ever been made. I haven't seen all of them, so I can't speak specifically to all of that. I can't say for sure that's what it is, but let's talk about it. Okay, Bruce Almighty. I'm going to be focusing mainly on the last third part of the movie, the part where he comes back to God and where things actually change, because the beginning is just him being a brat. It's this character that he's playing, Bruce Nolan. He's a news guy, and he's just dissatisfied with life. But this guy is bigger than life, which that's pretty much the characters Jim Carrey would play. And so, because he was bigger than life, his complaints were huge. I mean, this guy was just constantly droning on and on about how things were unfair and blaming God for all of his problems. He was a jealous man, he's a selfish man, and he's an ambitious man, even though he's not as talented as he thinks he is, and he doesn't fit the position that he wants. He wants to be head anchor in the newsroom, and he's not that guy. He's the guy who does reports, because he's funny, and he's charismatic, and at one point, God tells him. Morgan Freeman plays God, and he's talking to him, and he says, "You have the divine spark. I should know. I made you." That's how God deals with us. He's given us all gifts, and probably the best thing we can do is recognize those gifts and appreciate them. So I think that's part of what this movie is about. That's a big part of it. And we see at the beginning of the movie when Bruce is complaining, he's saying basically that he had the worst day of his life because he didn't get the anchor position. The position was coming open, and he was hoping to get it, and he somehow imagined that his boss was kind of leading him in that direction, which he was completely off base. And I think everybody knew it, especially Grace, his girlfriend, who he had been with. And so we see that his assessment of what happened that day is that was the worst day possible. And he's complaining, and he's just angry, several things have gone wrong, and he just blames God for all of it. And Jennifer Aniston, his girlfriend Grace, she's trying to be thankful, trying to look on the bright side. And when she starts to complain about his complaining, when she just points out, like, "Man, you're being a really big baby," and she does it in a very, very nice way. She doesn't accuse him, and she doesn't insult him. She just points out, like, "Man, you're focusing on the wrong thing, and you're making this about you, and you're a pretty selfish dude." And he gets all bent out of shape about that. And he says, you know, "Oh, great, I'll have the worst day of my life with a side order of guilt, please." And he walks out the door and slams the door on her. So he throws a big tantrum because he thinks that's the worst possible thing that could happen. And then, as we know, the story goes on, and he gets confronted by God. God tells him, of course, Morgan Freeman plays this character, and there's a lot of good stuff in here, but I'm just going to focus on this one thing that God gives him what he's asking for. I want the power of God to be able to do whatever I want. And he does that. And as we see, as the movie progresses, the things that he does are exactly the same things he was doing before. Being selfish, being self-centered and self-focused, and only thinking about what he wants. I mean, he has a relationship with a beautiful young lady, Grace, who I've already done a podcast about. He has a decent place to live. He has a good job. It's enjoyable. It's a good place to live, and it's a good life, and yet he's just complaining, complaining, complaining. And when he gets power and authority, he goes on a rampage and basically takes everything that he wants. He does it sexually. He does it for convenience with the dog, how he gets the dog to use the toilet, you know, with these God powers instead of taking the time to actually train the dog. He says, well, I'm going to take this shortcut and use this power to just get rid of this inconvenience of in my life of the dog not doing what I want. And then he completely obliterates Evan at his job. Evan's the one who actually got the anchor position. And he destroys his career without even thinking twice about it. And he's happy about it. He's rejoicing. And eventually he gets the position that he wants through all of this twisting of reality that he does by using God's powers illicitly for his own purpose. And once he gets the position, he starts to get attention from another woman. And of course, that's when Grace walks in. I mean, this is a movie, very cliched what happens, but she ends up walking away from him. And so he gets what he thinks he always wanted, and he loses one of the most important things that he had in his life. And that's what life is like sometimes. Sometimes we're going to face ourselves and understand that our own selfishness has put us where we are. That's a hard thing to face. And the movie, I think, does a great job of showing this, in that now he's gotten what he asked for, what he really, really wanted, or so he thought. And he lost one of the most important parts of his life, which was his relationship with Grace. And of course, that's a big metaphor there. It's a play on words. He fell out of grace. He no longer has grace with God. So he's basically separating himself from God, separating himself from his woman, which was what's called an unintended consequence. People who are selfish and self-centered don't understand unintended consequences. It is people who are wise who understand these things. It takes wisdom, which includes the fear of God. If you are smart, you could be a complete genius, and yet if you don't have the fear of God, you're not wise. So that's more important. It's more important to be wise. So the fear of God with knowledge is great, because then you humble yourself and you walk rightly with God. Bruce wasn't doing that. He was still being completely selfish. And I think that's one of the reasons I think this is a great movie, is because it shows what would happen if man received more of God's power in this world. He would act selfishly. Unless the heart is redeemed, then the man cannot be empowered, because all he'll do is destroy things. And there's plenty of people in the world that are like that. Powerful people, strong people, really, really smart people, really, really influential people. Some of them have a tendency to just do evil. And I think we have the wrong idea if we believe that only evil people are powerful. There's a lot of people who are powerful doing really, really good things. There's a lot of people who are rich that do really, really good things, because their riches are them being blessed, not them cheating and manipulating. The people at the very, very top financially are there because they are blessed by God. And you may not believe that, but the statistics bear that out. You can look at Dave Ramsey's information on millionaires to find that information. He came to the conclusion that the richest and most powerful people in the world are there because of their righteousness and of their integrity. You can't build that big on lies. Lies have a tendency to break down. So, in this movie, what's happening? Bruce is getting everything he ever wanted and losing the good things in his life because he's unredeemed and selfish. And so the big day comes when he makes his debut on TV and takes the position of lead anchor. He's been given the position, and now he's taken the seat. And everything's going wrong. He's given the whole city of Buffalo that he's in charge of everything they ever wanted. He ignored their prayers and eventually just got tired of listening to them and said, well, just give everybody what they want, which is a very interesting point in this movie. So he gives everybody everything they want, and the world goes to crap. I mean, everything's in turmoil. And so he takes his seat, the lights go off, they cut to the other guy, and they cut back to him. And when he finally is ready to speak on camera for his debut, the boss tells him, everything's going crazy, the people are rioting outside, the world is in complete turmoil. Speak, tell the people, tell the news right now. And he finally has a realization. Somehow in the movie they show that he's going to turn to God, or he's going to leave this place, because I think what's happening is what happens to people that get to a really, really high level of life. They get to that seat, they get to that spot, they win that championship, whatever it is, and then they realize, wait a minute, this isn't all it's cracked up to be, you know? I've been building this thing up over and over and over again so much that when I got here, it seems empty. So he goes outside and he sees all the chaos, and I think he realizes that he's at the cause of this. He's the one who at the root has made these things happen. So he runs to God. He goes searching for him in the building where he first met God. And there he finds him. Turns out this is the seventh at seven, the appointment that was made at the beginning of the movie. And as he shows up, God is there with two mops. And he says, oh, Bruce Almighty. And he invites him to come and mop things up. So symbolically, they're cleaning up the mess that Bruce has made. And Bruce is talking to God, and he's reasoning with him, finally. Instead of complaining, instead of accusing, instead of just being super ambitious and trying to take everything for himself, he reasons with God, which is a great thing to do. And what God invites us to do in Scripture. Come, let us reason together. Come, take a closer walk with me. Those things are in Scripture. And he tells Morgan Freeman as God, all I did was give everybody everything they ever wanted. And one of the greatest lines delivered is where Morgan Freeman says, since when do people know what they want? And that's exactly what happened to Bruce. The worst day ever in his mind was when he didn't get what he wanted. The actual worst day of his life was when he got everything that he wanted. He got the anchor position. He's finally sitting up there in front of the camera, ready to read the news. Evan's life has been destroyed. The world is in turmoil. The people are dissatisfied. He no longer has a relationship with Grace, at least not a good one. And he's sitting up there in his suit, and everything's going wrong. And it just turns out he got everything he ever wanted, and yet that was the worst day of his life. So he has to turn towards God. That happens to so many of us. We don't turn to God until our lives are completely in turmoil and broken and messed up. That's why I like this movie, because it really shows the reality of who we are unredeemed. It shows the reality of what we would do apart from God, and how we tend to accuse and desire and just move in wrong directions. So here's Bruce doing all this stuff and turning towards God finally. And the culmination of everything is when he starts to actually fix his life and do work, when God tells him, be the miracle, which is kind of a callback to the Gandhi saying, you know, be the change that you desire to see in the world. But this is God speaking and tells him directly, be the miracle. Because he's described to him what a true miracle is, how much of a miracle it is when people do good for themselves and for others instead of being selfish. So Bruce goes about trying to fix his life and actually training the dog and taking the time to fix up his his photo book that he had with Grace, and he humbles himself, steps down from the position that wasn't rightfully his, and gives it back to Evan and apologizes to him and congratulates him. So he's cleaning up his life and doing the things he ought to do. And then he realizes, his sister-in-law tells him, well, sister-in-law, Grace's sister tells him that Grace is always praying for him. And so he realizes he has access to prayers, and he sees her prayers on his prayer computer, and he's reading them, and he's realizing, like, oh man, she's been praying for me for a long time. She really cares about me a lot. And then he sees that she's actively praying at that moment, and he goes and he looks and spies on her as she's praying. So with this power of God, he has the power to be anywhere. And he shows up there and he's able to see her and hear her. But what he hears is devastating. She no longer wants to love him. She still loves him. Good news. She doesn't want to love him. That's the bad news. And this hits him so hard, because now he's had the realization that everything he ever wanted was not everything it was cut out to be. And then he's realizing that using God's powers selfishly is just cheating, so he can use his own power to do little things and make his life better incrementally and bless people who are around him. And now he's learning big lessons in life and taking action. And now at this point, when he thinks things are finally turning to the right, boom, he gets hit in the face with this reality that he messed things up so bad that this woman, Grace, this wonderful, beautiful, lovely woman, no longer wants to love him anymore. Though she still loves him, she doesn't want to. And he sees her brokenness. Finally, finally, he takes his eyes off of himself. That's what we're supposed to do. Take your eyes off of yourself. That's what makes this movie good, is that it's telling us godly things. Take your eyes off of yourself. Do the little things. Humble yourself. Don't expect that the things of this world are going to make you happy. Boom, boom, boom. All these lessons. And so now he sees her brokenness, and that just breaks him in half. I mean, his spirit is completely broken, and he's walking down the highway in a rainstorm with, you know, all the movie cliches, and he falls on his knees and tells God, "I surrender to your will." And then he gets hit by a truck. Totally unseen. I had no idea when I first saw this. Now, of course, I've seen it so many times, and it's still a good scene. It's still a good thing that happens, because God's going to redeem it, all of it. That's another thing that I think this movie gets right, is that God's desire is to redeem all things, and so he's going to redeem this selfish man to this beautiful woman, and the entire circumstance is going to be good. But first, he's going to be hit by a truck. And then God tells him, you need to pray. Another good thing that comes out of this is that Bruce is going to learn how to pray and how to talk to God, because at first he does the whole Miss America thing, you know, end world hunger, bring peace to the world. And God sarcastically tells him, like, yeah, that's great if you want to be Miss America. Great line. But he tells him, what do you really care about? Why don't you talk to me about that? And so Bruce, the first thing that comes to his mind is Grace. And God tells him, yeah, you want her back. And he says, no. That was another a thing I didn't see coming. But he comes back and says, I don't want her for myself. In other words, I no longer selfishly have ideas about her. Now I have generous ideas about her. I want her to be happy, even if that means she's not with me. So then God says, that's a good prayer. When you humble yourself, you learn how to pray rightly. And so he's thinking about her life. And he's thinking about her desires. And he says, yeah, I prefer that she be happy and have somebody who cares about her the way she needs to be cared for. Another good idea. The man needs to care for his woman. He needs to see her vulnerability and bless her. He needs to be the strong one in the relationship. Not everybody's like that. But Generally speaking, that's the way it works. And he learns that. And so now, generously, he's praying for her for the first time ever. And God says, now that's a good prayer. And he sends him back. And that's where he redeems everything. He sends Bruce back, and Bruce could have never figured out how to fix his relationship with Grace, how to be happy in his job, how to live life on a different level unless he went through all of these things. That's another good lesson, is that the things that we go through are meant to help us and bless us. And that's what's happening in this movie. That's why this movie is good. And at the very end, we see the redemption. We see that Grace has given blood, and it's for him. She has come back because now he's broken and vulnerable, and so he is no longer going to be a bully. He's no longer going to be a threat to her. So she sees him in this position, humbled, and she comes back. She has resentment, and she has anger, and she puts all of that aside for one reason, because of her love for him. And being married for 25 years myself, I understand exactly what that means. It's very easy to become resentful. It's very easy to hurt somebody when you're really, really close to them, just because you're not thinking, just because you're selfish in your heart and you don't realize it, you don't know it, or you don't deal with it. And so vulnerability is a big issue in life. And I think Grace pictures it perfectly. She shows up, clutching her bag, tears in her eyes, and the fact that she comes to him and forgives him, and they come back together. Bruce looks up at God with the prayer beads in his hands, and he says, "Now you're just showing off." Pretty good line. It was delivered well, and the movie gets a big bow tied around it. Everything works out, which is, that's a Hollywood thing, but it's also a Bible thing, because if you read the book, in the very end, we win. Everything works out for the righteous. Though Bruce had no righteousness to speak of, I think as a whole, he had much to offer this world, and his selfishness was out of ignorance. And as he came to know the truth and embraced it, now he has his relationship with Grace, where he's proposed to her, and now they're going to be married, which is what she wanted and desired and actually deserved. And now he's embracing his job and learning to do it well with excellence. And he's doing the little things that count in life, that change your world. He's not relying on God to magically just make everything right. He's doing his part, and now he's blessed. That's my take, my poetic movie review of Bruce Almighty. This is the Morning Meditation Podcast. Thank you for listening.